This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. 25 years ago, the La Crosse Area Habitat for Humanity was started. In that time, the organization has built 41 homes around La Crosse, Vernon, and Trempealeau counties, and Houston County in Minnesota. As the nonprofit organization marks its 25th anniversary this month, we'll take a look at how habitat has changed over the years and how it's still helping to address housing issues in the Coulee region. Joining us are Kaya Fox, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Habitat for Humanity, Alan Eber, the organization's current board president, Jenny Mitchell, a longtime volunteer for Habitat from La Crosse, and Mary Schumacher, owner of one of the homes built by Habitat in La Crosse. Kaya, I wonder if you could start by talking a little bit about, you know, how Habitat has impacted the La Crosse area.
Well, I think the Habitat in La Crosse is such a unique and wonderful nonprofit organization. So the impacts that it makes is sometimes things that people don't necessarily think about when they think about Habitat. So I think a lot of people, when they hear the word Habitat for Humanity, they think, oh, homes for people who are in need. But the impact that we make is so much greater, because the unique part of Habitat is that we work together as a community to build those homes. So not only is it impacting the families we're building the homes for, but it's impacting the volunteers and the funders and all of the people who contribute to that home. We come together, we build that home, we make it safe and affordable for a family. So that impact not only is for the family that's going to move into the home, but it extends to all of the people and the time and the effort and the energy that they put into making that happen. And we become almost a community working together to do great things for our community, for our families, for the future of the children. So I think it's just a bigger kind of extended piece that we give to the community when we build a home.
And as I mentioned, Habitat for Humanity has built 41 homes in this area. Where have these, you know, homes been? Have a lot of them been in La Crosse?
We've actually built 42 homes. We've sold 41, but we have 42 homes that we've completed, and we're building another four this year. So we're very excited about the 25 years and what we've done, but we have concentrated in the city of La Crosse. I think people are well aware that there's a lot of need in the city. It's the largest community in our area. There's a lot of need for safe and affordable housing. But we also service and have built homes in other communities. So Habitat actually works in La Crosse County, Trempealeau County, Houston County in Minnesota, and then also Vernon County. So we've built homes in each one of the communities that we work with.
And Alan, you know, as Kaya was mentioning earlier, there's kind of a bigger impact to these Habitat projects, more than just the individual homeowners. But I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, what it means for La Crosse to have these affordable homes, to have more people in housing.
That's a great question. You know, I was asked to be on the board of directors, and I sat down with the executive director and the current board and the president at that time. And they said something to me that really struck a chord with me. They said, Habitat provides a hand up, not a hand out. You know, and that really struck a chord with me, because it's we're not giving people something. We're helping them get someplace where they couldn't before. And as I went home, I started thinking more about what Habitat does, not just for the families that we give these houses to, but for the community itself. It's well proven that homeowners in communities help that community grow. And I did a little research, and it turns out that homeownership accounts for about 15.6% of the gross domestic product. So when you think about homeowners in a community itself, they add back to that community. You know, they give back to the community. They have to buy things. They purchase things from the community to go into their homes. They become better community members for them. So, you know, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking, what a great organization to give my time to and help out with. We have provided homes for families for at 41, almost 42 families now. When I look back on what that economically means to the community itself, that's over $100,000 a year worth of income, of tax income, that the community is getting based on the houses that we build. So, you know, as Kaya said before, this is much more than just the families that we're providing homes to. It's the community that we're helping to improve.
And Mary, you are a homeowner through Habitat for Humanity. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, how you kind of got involved in this program and that process that you went through.
Well, I actually found out about Habitat through a flyer that I saw on a wall for a laundromat. I drove a friend of mine that didn't drive to a laundromat, and I was, you know, bored waiting for her to do her laundry, and I seen a flyer for Habitat on the wall there. And so it talked about Habitat's homeowner expo that they had coming up. And so it looked interesting. So I went and applied at that expo. That year I actually didn't qualify for a home. And so I continued to apply. And I think about 2 years later was when they called me and came and did an inspection of my home and asked me, you know, why should they look at me for a Habitat homeowner? And after that, they called me maybe about a month later and said that I was accepted for their program. And so then, you know, the planning process started after that. They started figuring out where my home was going to be. And students from Western Technical College came up with a design for my home. And then my husband and I started doing our volunteer hours towards our house. And I think it took about 8 months after that point, and our house was completed.
What has that meant to you to be able to be involved in this program and be a homeowner through Habitat?
Oh, being a homeowner is awesome. I didn't really know what to expect because I was, you know, a first-time homeowner. But it's really, really nice. Just the stability that it offers is amazing. And working with Habitat has been great, too. They are all such nice people, and it's just been an awesome experience. And that is why I'm so willing to help them in the future with anything that they need, just because of how awesome they've been through the process.
Kai, I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about, you know, what's the process of finding people to be homeowners and, you know, take us through the steps of that process.
Yeah, so Mary alluded to it a little bit. We have a homeowner expo where we invite people from the community to come in. And Habitat takes a look at three different things when we're looking at future homeowners for the homes that we're building. And we look at their ability to pay. So a homeowner, one of the misconceptions about Habitat is that we give the homes away for free. And that's not true. You know, Alan talked about a hand up, not a handout. We actually sell the homes to the homeowner. They do pay a mortgage at 0% interest for 30 years. So we are teaching them to be homeowners. So we need to know that they have the ability to make a mortgage payment, that they can accept that responsibility. They have to have a need for housing. And so Mary talked about people coming in and taking a look. We are looking at decent, safe, and affordable housing. And one of the things that a lot of our homeowners have is they're living in cramped conditions, unsafe conditions, poor housing. So we want to see firsthand what is the living conditions of the families that we're working with and that need for safe housing. And then they have to have the willingness to participate. And so Mary talked about the volunteer work. We ask each of our homeowners to put in at least 350 hours of sweat equity towards the construction on that home. So they're building all alongside the volunteers through the entire process. So we, as we take in applications, we take a look at those three different things. And if somebody meets those criteria, then we work with them on building a home.
Yeah, I mean, Mary, can you talk a little bit about what that was like to work on your home or other people's homes as you know, your home was getting built? I mean, I imagine that's a very unique experience.
It is. Working on the home was fun. I honestly didn't get to do a ton of it because during the time that my home was being built, I was in a high-risk pregnancy. I was pregnant with twins at the time. So there wasn't a ton that I could do. So my husband did a lot of it. But when I was able to come, I mean, they'd give me really easy jobs. They'd let me pour water glasses for volunteers or bake cookies for volunteers, things like that. And then working on the home was fun too. Like towards the end of when our house was getting done, I came out and helped painted the house. And just knowing that you're involved in the process is so much more rewarding.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the local chapter of Habitat for Humanity, how the nonprofit has been working to address housing needs for low-income families over the last 25 years. We're here with Mary Schumacher, Habitat homeowner from La Crosse, Kaya Fox, executive director of the local Habitat for Humanity, Jenny Mitchell, a volunteer for the organization from La Crosse, and Alan Eber, current board president. You know, Kaya, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about What did the organization look like when it was first started 25 years ago? You know, we're marking the 25th anniversary of the organization, but you know, where did kind of Habitat start in the La Crosse area?
So as we celebrate our 25 years, we've been looking back and kind of taking a look at where did we start, how did we start, and how did we get to where we are today? So I've been talking to a lot of people in the community. So 25 years ago, you know, affordable housing was an issue, and people were very concerned about, you know, safe and affordable housing in our community. So there was just a group of very interested community members that got together, and Habitat actually started with a march. People did a march across La Crosse, just trying to educate the community about the needs for affordable housing. And they did the march, and it was very successful. They felt really good about increasing awareness in our community. And they said, but increasing awareness is one thing. What can we continue to do? And so they sat down, and they started talking to Habitat International, and they formed the Habitat affiliate right here in our community. And the very first days of Habitat for Humanity were just a bunch of volunteers. There was no paid staff. They put together a board, they put together subcommittees, and they started tackling the issue of affordable housing, and they put together money within the first year to build a home. So they would come in on Friday afternoons and Saturdays, and they would gather volunteers from the community, and in less than a year, they built their first home. And so, you know, it was a grassroots. We started just from concerned citizens, and people came together, they worked together, and 25 years, we're still going, and we're, you know, we've got full-time staff, we operate a ReStore now. We've grown so much in those 25 years, but we're still working on the issue of affordable housing. It's still a need in a community, and so we're still going to be here to help and do what we can.
Yeah, Alan, I wonder if you can expand more about, you know, what is Habitat look like in the La Crosse area today? Obviously, it's changed a lot in the last 25 years.
Well, this is a really exciting time to be part of Habitat. You know, not only we've been around for 25 years, but we're at a point in time where, you know, we see the organization really taking off from where we are right now. We average about 1.6 houses that we build or families that we provide homes to a year, and we think we can do a lot more than that. So we are really starting to take a look at what is our potential in this community. We know there's a great need for homes in our community, affordable homes in our community. So we're trying to push our boundaries. You know, I said we built about 1.26 over the last 24 years. We're really looking at jumping that up to maybe 6 homes a year. Can we get there in a few years? So, you know, we're really trying to grow the organization and better the community. The other thing that we're doing is we're going to be releasing a capital campaign. You know, we know we're a great organization for this community. In fact, we were voted second best nonprofit organization by Best of La Crosse here very recently. So, you know, we think this is a great time for us to take advantage of the need for homeowners in La Crosse and our ability to provide those homes. So it's really been an exciting time to be a part of this organization.
Kaya, do you think that a lot of the changes that the organization has made over the years, you know, have those been driven by, I don't know, internal, you know, problem solving and wanting to get better? Or do you think that those changes have been driven by maybe external influences and responding to the community? Or maybe it's a mixture of both.
You hit it on the head. It's a mixture of both. We've had wonderful staff, wonderful volunteers within the organization, but we're also in the La Crosse community, which is such a giving, open, amazing community to be part of. So I think it's the people that are part of Habitat, the volunteers that are part of Habitat, that believe in the things that we're doing. They see the impact that we make in the community, and that motivates them to continue. But we also have such an amazing group in our community, amazing neighborhoods, amazing elected officials, amazing community organizers that help us all come together. And it wouldn't be possible without that kind of perfect storm of staff, volunteers, donors, community members that come together and help us fulfill our mission year after year.
And you bring up, you know, a lot of this work is done by volunteers. And Jenny, you know, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about why you wanted to first become a volunteer with Habitat.
I volunteered with Habitat for 4 years, and at different points in my life, I've been on the receiving end of generosity. And so to be able to just give of my time and help an organization like Habitat for Humanity here in La Crosse, it's my way of saying thank you and to pay back some of that generosity. And Mary alluded to this in saying, you know, she wasn't able to help as much as perhaps she wanted to due to her current situation at that time. There literally is something for everyone to do, regardless of ability, limitations, availability, time-wise. You know, she poured water for the volunteers. That's crucial in the hot summer. And so, you know, we have opportunities for volunteering at the Restore, in construction. There is literally, you do not need to have any skill whatsoever. We will teach you. And office work. We have several other programs. Renew, which is our neighborhood revitalization program. Neighbors Day. We also have our salvage program, which we are trying to grow even further, where we go into homes and businesses that are going to be torn down and salvage items out of there that could be resold. So there are so many opportunities, and to me, the greatest gift that you can give of yourself is your time. And it doesn't take a lot, and Habitat is definitely deserving of that to me.
You mentioned that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have construction experience or experience, you know, building homes. I wonder if you had any of that experience going into this organization.
I did not. I often share my Hammer story. Our former construction manager was always on me because I did not know how to swing a hammer properly. And after 4 years of once a year going out on a women build team to the construction site, I finally learned how to properly swing a hammer, which is to hold it by the bottom of the hammer, not up top. And of course, the day that I go out to do that is the day he's not there to see it. So that's my hammer story. But you know, I have some limitations with my knees, and my job as of late on the build site is I sit and I scoot around putting in the little blocks at the baseboards so that there's extra room to screw in additional screws for the drywall. And because I can't get up and down, I can't, or stoop or squat, things like that. So again, we all work within our limitations, and we work within schedules and flexibility and skill level. And so there, once again, is always something for everyone. And we would not exist as an organization without our volunteers. While, yes, we have staff, that staff is a count of 9. Our volunteer count very much outmeasures that. The Restore itself is staffed by volunteers and stocked by donations. And so I would encourage everybody to look at your schedules and check it out.
I wonder if you have an experience or a memory that you really feel like sums up what you've gained from being a volunteer through Habitat.
Currently, I do fundraising and marketing, and so to see events come together, that is very heartwarming. But for a time, I was cashiering, and to see some of the relationships that were formed with the people that would come in to the Restore, and to be given hugs or to be asked, how are you doing, or I haven't seen you in a while, that's what it's about. And we're a family, those of us within the organization. And so if one of us isn't there for a day, okay, well, why isn't she here? Or why isn't he here? What happened? And we all look out for the other. And if something's going on and I can't make it in, I can have somebody bring something to me, or vice versa. And we all look out for each other.
That's Jenny Mitchell, a longtime volunteer for Habitat for Humanity from La Crosse, here with us today to talk about how Habitat has changed over the last 25 years and what's next for the nonprofit. Also joining us is Kaya Fox, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Habitat for Humanity, Alan Eber, Board President, and Mary Schumacher, a Habitat homeowner. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Kaya, you know, we've been hearing over the years recently that, you know, a lot of times charitable organizations, nonprofits, they're having trouble finding volunteers to do work. And I imagine that Habitat work is unique and different than a lot of, you know, volunteer opportunities. What has, you know, what trends have you guys been seeing in, you know, the number of volunteers and maybe who's volunteering for the organization over the years?
You know, we have a very large group of long-term volunteers. But in the more recent years, we've seen a lot of the younger generation coming in and looking to volunteer. We have a really great community, like I said before, but we also have a lot of youth that are interested in getting involved at a younger age. And so what we're seeing is kind of a change in the face of the volunteers that are coming in and a change in the face of the type of volunteer opportunities that we offer. So when Jenny was talking about a lot of different volunteer opportunities, that's kind of what we're trying and striving to do here at Habitat is make sure that there's a place for everybody. So if you want to come in every Friday afternoon and work in the restore, you can come in every Friday afternoon and work in the restore. If you want to volunteer every Saturday on the job site, you can do that. But if you have a limited schedule and you only have a day that you can give every once in a while, we have events, we have Neighbors Day, Renew, stop-in days that you can do and give back to your community through Habitat. We also have a variety of different opportunities for people that if they're interested in different things, we can find ways for them to volunteer. So if you like to put together videos, you can put together a video for Habitat for Humanity and we can use that in our publicity. And if you're interested in taking pictures, you can come and take pictures for us. If you're interested in building things with your hands that you want to donate to the restore to sell, we can do that. If you'd like to repurpose projects and have your artwork displayed and sold, you can do that at the restore. So we're trying to find ways in which everybody who is interested can kind of touch Habitat, touch their community, and give back, regardless of how much time, what their skill level is, so that it just is, it's a place to be, it's a place to come and to give back, and we are more than happy to take your unique skills and use that to, you know, make an impact in your community.
As Jenny shared, you know, there are definitely people who volunteer, I imagine, who have little to no, you know, prior experience with building. I wonder if that is becoming more common or if that's always maybe been part of the process is teaching people how to build.
That's the foundation of Habitat for Humanity, is the idea that you don't need that experience, but if you come to the job site, not only are you giving back and you have that sense of giving back to your community, but you also can take away something. And so that's kind of been the basis of Habitat. People who don't know how to build, who might not know how to hold a hammer correctly, can come by and we're going to teach you. And so it's a give and take kind of a situation when you help build with Habitat. The other really great thing that I think you take, not only those construction skills, but that sense of working together, that teammanship that comes with being on the job site. So if you don't know how to hang drywall, you are probably going to come to the job site and work with six other people that don't know how to hang drywall. But you're going to work together and you're going to hang that drywall. And at the end of the day, you can stand back and you can see, you can visually see what you did, what that impact is. A wall that was not there is now there. Cabinets that were not there are now hung and ready for plates and cups for that family. And so I think that's another really great thing. If you don't have the experience, you still can have that sense of accomplishment and purpose at the end, because we're going to teach you, we're going to help you through that, and you're going to work alongside your peers, and you're going to feel that sense of us, we did that at the end of the day.
Why do you think those skills are important for people in the community to have?
Oh, well, we've all been in that situation where, you know, your faucet starts leaking. Well, I don't know how to fix it. And if you come to Habitat and you build with us, you can say, you know what? I learned how to do that. Or if you've got a floorboard that's squeaking and you come to the job site and somebody tells you how to hold a hammer correctly, now you know how to fix that squeaky floor. So there's so many different things that you can learn by being on the job site that will help you in your day-to-day life.
Kaya Fox, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Habitat for Humanity, is here with us today to talk about the 25th anniversary for Habitat in La Crosse and how the organization is working to address housing needs in the area. She's joined by Alan Eber, Board President, Jenny Mitchell, a longtime volunteer for Habitat in La Crosse, and Mary Schumacher, a Habitat homeowner here in La Crosse. Coming up, we'll talk about the future of Habitat programs in the Cooley region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio and La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're marking the 25th anniversary of Habitat for Humanity in La Crosse. The nonprofit organization continues to build and repair homes for low-income families in the Cooley region. Joining us to talk about how their efforts have changed over the years and what's next for the organization are Kaya Fox, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Habitat for Humanity, Alan Eber, the organization's current board president, Jenny Mitchell, a longtime volunteer for Habitat from La Crosse, and Mary Schumacher, owner of one of the homes built by Habitat in La Crosse. So we've been, you know, talking a little bit about, you know, how the organization has changed over the last 25 years. And Alan, you know, I wonder if you could talk more about how Habitat's funding models maybe have changed. You know, what are kind of the current trends and how the organization is funded?
Well, originally, a lot of the funds came in from donations from people around La Crosse. And that's, you know, as Kaya has said earlier, this is a great community for that. You know, but something that's not thought of very much is how much we get from organizations in La Crosse that help supply us with materials. You know, when we build our houses, there are a lot of firms in La Crosse that will provide us with lower cost materials and donate time to help us build. So that's not really giving funds, but it's giving of themselves, giving us a little bit of a break on these houses, giving the families a little break, because ultimately they're going to pay for it in the end. So they give that way. Other places that we get that we have developed into new fundraising is we do a salvation program where we will go into houses that have been condemned and we will look for materials that we can either take back to our ReStore and sell at our ReStore, or we will take them and recycle them and get money for the recycling. And we're really trying to grow that part of the business as well. Instead of looking at just houses that are condemned, we're starting to find that if we can find people that are remodeling their homes and remodeling a kitchen, and are taking out some old cabinetry and putting in new cabinetry, you know, that's a great place for us too. We can go in there and help them. In fact, we can save them money by taking volunteers into their homes, taking that equipment out, and then we will repurpose it and resell it. So, you know, we continue to look for new ways to raise funds. The ReStore has been a huge success for us at Habitat. We moved out to close to West Salem, between Onalaska and West Salem here about 2 years ago, 3 years ago now. And since we've made that move, you know, the location seems to be great for people. It's easy to get to. It's a very noticeable place as you're driving by on that highway. And the sales of the ReStore and the donations of the ReStore have really improved. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways that we bring in revenue, and we are continually looking to see if there are other opportunities for us to grow.
Yeah, Kaya, can you explain what the ReStore is?
Well, it's a recycled retail store. So we rely on donations from people in the community, and we sell not only household items, but we also sell construction materials. So you can find anything from a kitchen chair to drywall to wood to siding to plumbing fixtures to electrical fixtures, lamps, lighting, nails, hammers, you name it, we have it at the ReStore. And because it's donation driven, it's constantly changing. So what we have available from one day to the next is completely different. So I tell people, if you see it and you like it, you better buy it, because it's probably not going to be there tomorrow. So I've learned my lesson the hard way shopping at the ReStore. It's a place for everybody. If you want to do any type of repair or remodeling in your home, you can find discounted materials there. We have paint, we have tile, so you can repurpose and redo an entire room at your house at a very deep discount. But if you're also, you know, a student looking for a new couch, you can come by, and we have fabulous, beautiful furniture that you can stock your home with.
Jenny, I wonder, you know, obviously the resource is an important part of, you know, helping Habitat continue to do the work that it does in the community. But, you know, I imagine that it has some, maybe some big picture benefits also for the community. You know, how do you think the, you know, it's important to do this sort of, you know, salvaging these things and reselling them? Why is that important?
To repurpose, to recycle, it's all about sustainability. And we have become a society of throwaway, and that needs to stop. And one, we are now located right next to the landfill. And so part of our being there, too, has created a partnership with them where things get redirected towards us.
Habitat not only builds homes, but I know that you guys also do some work with kind of critical home repairs and helping repair homes. You know, Alan, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, why that program is also important, not just building new homes in the community, but also repairing existing homes.
Yeah, you know, again, our mission is to bring people together to build homes, communities, and hope. That's what we do. So when you take a step back and say, well, okay, what does that mean? What is it that we should be doing? You know, building homes is obviously a great part of it, and providing families with new homes is a great part of it. But, you know, there are families in La Crosse that are in homes that are, you know, could use quite a bit of help, and some of them could use help in a way to make them more safe than they are. You know, and we have an organization that's great at that. You know, we have volunteers that can come in. We know how to build houses. We've got construction managers that are great at teaching volunteers and coordinating volunteers to do this. So above and beyond building homes, why don't we go help people that are already living in homes that are having a difficult time keeping up with what they have? So, you know, this is just another way for us to expand the organization and you know, take our mission and move it forward above and beyond building houses for new families.
Yeah, Kaya, can you talk a little bit more about, you know, who are typically the recipients of those kinds of projects?
So we work with low-income families in our communities. And so, again, it's the hand up, not the hand out. So we work with people who need a hand up. And we work with them by providing 0% interest loans, regardless of what type of program we're working with, whether it's the repair or the home ownership programs. And we work with the volunteers, and we work side by side with the people receiving the assistance to make those repairs. So it's people in our community that are in a situation where they have worked hard. They are employed or they have a steady income. They are homeowners or they're on the brink of possibly being a homeowner. And we kind of give them that last little nudge with the expertise and the volunteers that we are able to coordinate to get them into a situation where they can go home at the end of the day and they can be safe and they can lay their head down at night and know that their house is safe around them, that their children are safe, that they have a place that they can call home. And I think one of the things that we all kind of take in stride every single day is that we have a set of keys in our pocket that is our home. And it's kind of that sanctuary at the end of the day. The workday is done. The kids have been run around to the different sporting events. And now we get to go home. And we get to unlock that door. And we get to shut the door. And we get to be a family. And there are people in La Crosse that don't have that to say that they can have for themselves. And so we are kind of that step in the right direction for them to give them that one sense of peace at the end of the day and that set of keys that is unique to them, that it's their home. And so whether it's the home that we build or it's a home that they can come to that wasn't safe before that can be safe now for their family, that's kind of that wonderful peace that Habitat provides for our community.
Do you think that vision that Habitat has, that everyone can have, you know, a decent place to live and call home, is that more difficult or is it easier to achieve than it was 25 years ago?
I think it's always going to be something that we strive for. I think affordable housing is it was an issue 25 years ago and it's an issue today. So regardless of where we're at, you know, and what the needs are, I think we started moving into our critical home repair program because, you know, 25 years ago, houses were 25 years younger. They're older today, and there's deferred maintenance, and there's things that need to be done. So we're ever responding to kind of the unique needs in the community, but the need is going to be there. It's just, you know, what is the specific need, and how are we as an organization going to address that? So we're constantly looking at that and then making changes to what we do in order to address those needs. And so that idea of home is never going to go away. And that idea of a safe home is never going to go away. And there's always going to be people in our community that don't have that opportunity. And so we are here to help with that.
You know, Mary, as someone who is a homeowner through Habitat, you know, we're talking about how this program can help a lot of families kind of achieve that goal of home ownership. And I wonder, before participating in Habitat, I mean, was that a reality? Or I mean, what was kind of your outlook on kind of achieving that home ownership, that safe place for your family?
Before I got involved in Habitat, I was renting a home, and I honestly never had looked into being able to purchase my own home. It just seemed like something that I just didn't feel like I was there yet. But Habitat, you know, helped me along the process. They, as part of their home ownership process, you do like credit counseling. And so, you know, they go over your whole financial situation with you. They let you know if you can afford to be a homeowner, and they give you tips and strategies of how to better manage your finances so that can be a reality to you. As much as I don't think I was ready for it before the program, they helped me along the way so that I could get there.
What advice would you give to people who maybe were in that situation that you were in before Habitat? You know, what would you maybe tell those people?
I would definitely tell them to look into the program. It has made a huge difference in my life. I would definitely tell them to go onto Habitat's website and sign up for their email list, and then they will get information to you on when they have their homeowner expos, and then you can look into it further from there. But it's definitely worth it.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the local chapter of Habitat for Humanity, how the nonprofit has been working to address housing needs over the last 25 years. We're here with Mary Schumacher, Habitat homeowner from La Crosse, Kaya Fox, executive director for the local Habitat for Humanity, Alan Eber, current board president, and Jenny Mitchell, a longtime volunteer for the organization. You know, we've been talking a lot about how the organization has changed over the last 25 years. But, you know, Alan, I wonder if you could talk about, you know, how the organization is gearing up for the next 25 years. What kind of challenges and changes do you anticipate the organization going through?
That's a great question. And you know, as I said, this is an extremely exciting time to be part of Habitat for Humanity. We have helped 42 families within this community already, and we think we are at a point where we can really take off and start helping more families at a faster rate. We know the need is out there. We know there are families in our community that would benefit greatly from home ownerships. Our communities would benefit greatly from more home ownerships. The neighborhoods that we build these homes in always improve that neighborhood. So it's just a great thing for the community. So what we're looking at doing is more than what we have been doing in the past. We have a goal, or we are starting to gear up to be able to build, instead of one or two houses a year, we're trying to build maybe six homes a year or help six families out a year. That's a big jump for us, and we have a bunch of people that are doing a lot of work to try to say, is this possible? Can we do this safely? Can we do this realistically? One of the things that we're looking at is we're going to be sending out a capital campaign here in the region very shortly to help us get to these goals. We know that, again, this is a big part of what La Crosse needs is more home ownership, helping people get into homes. So we think the community is ready to help us do this as well. So, and we're ready to do it. We're ready to move forward and do more than we have been doing. So, you know, it's been very exciting. We've got different programs that we're bringing on. The critical home repair is fairly new to us. It's another service that we can provide to the community. The salvage program is new to us. So, you know, we're growing in different areas. You know, part of the things that we talked about the salvage program before, not only does that bring in money to our organization, but as it was said, it diverts materials from going to the landfill. In fact, since we've started this program, we've diverted about 350 tons of waste from going to the landfill and repurposed that for other people's homes. So, you know, when we talk about where we're going in the future, it's things like this. You know, how can we take the skills that we have, the resources that we have at Habitat for Humanity, and you know, help more families and help this community grow and be better?
One thing that I wanted to bring up is that, you know, the housing market in La Crosse is pretty tight. There are a lot of people looking for housing right now in La Crosse. And, you know, Kai, I wonder how that impacts the work of your organization. Does it make it more challenging?
I think definitely at this time, you know, when the housing market is doing great and people are, you know, snatching up homes. But I think one of the wonderful things about Habitat is just our connection and our cooperative arrangements that we have in the community. So we work very closely with the county. We work very closely with the city of La Crosse. And so as opportunities and land and homes come available to them, we have such a great partnership that they will work with us to find places that we can build. The city of La Crosse has identified specific neighborhoods that are in need of new housing, in need of repairs. And so we work hand in hand with the city to identify properties and homes in those areas that we can work with to either remodel or rebuild so that we can help the city of La Crosse and their efforts, and then we can continue with our mission. So it can be difficult, but I think just the idea of what Habitat is doing and that cooperative agreements and the cooperative relationships that we have in the community, it's not necessarily as hard as you would think it would be.
Yeah, Alan, I wonder how Habitat maybe is a solution to maybe some of the problems, or not problems, but factors that we see in the La Crosse housing market. You know, how do you see Habitat as maybe helping to expand the amount of affordable housing and housing opportunities in the La Crosse area?
That's a great question. You know, I come back to the skills that Habitat has and the volunteers that we have and you know, our abilities. You know, one of the things that's going on in La Crosse that's made a lot of news lately is homelessness, trying to solve homelessness. And I know we have been a part of some of the meetings, but, you know, I think there's opportunities for us to do even more there. You know, we have the ability to build very affordable homes and buildings. You know, if we truly want to help homeless people, you know, we are a great resource to be able to do that as well. We can help build things for very reasonable costs, low costs. You know, the more families that we have that need homes, again, you know, we have those skills. We can do that. The critical home repair, we have the skills to be able to do that. So, you know, I think there are some untapped areas that Habitat can help with, you know, just because we have the means and the mechanism to be able to do this, to be able to build places that people can live for very affordable prices. You know, and on top of that, you know, we talk about the homes that we're building and the benefits we're giving to those families, but, you know, as Jenny has said earlier, it's not just the families that we're benefiting, it's the volunteers that we're benefiting. You know, it feels extraordinarily good for all of the volunteers that come and help build these homes to help these families out and to walk away and say, oh my gosh, look what we just did. You know, look at how much this house we just put up today or this weekend. Look at this place. It's great. You know, so it's not just helping the families, it's helping all the volunteers that we have in our community as well. So, you know, I think, as I said, this is a great opportunity, a great time for Habitat to go and be more than it is in our community already.
Yeah, Kai, do you have thoughts to add to that?
Absolutely. So, you know, homeownership, we've talked about the impacts to the individuals, to the volunteers, to the families, but there's economic impact. And Alan talked to it before when he alluded to, you know, the increased tax rate. And I think those partnerships that we have within the community, the affordable housing is a piece of economic development. And so a lot of times it's the affordable housing developers that will be the first in communities to help kind of redevelop and grow those neighborhoods. So the Habitat has been working alongside the City of La Crosse, the County of La Crosse, Cooley Cap, another nonprofit organization, market rate developers. We've worked with the community along the idea that not only is affordable housing important for the families, but it's important for the economic development of that community. So one of the things one of the projects we're doing this year is on the corner of 5th Avenue and Mississippi Street in La Crosse. And Habitat is building 3 affordable homes to replace 3 very deteriorated homes that were on that lot. The fair market value of all 3 of those units was less than $150,000 when we went in to the project. We're going to be working in tandem with Cooley Cap and with a market rate developer to build 7 homes. When we're done, the overall fair market value is going to be about $1.5 million. So that's 10 times the value. So there's going to be 3 more families that are going to be in affordable housing, but we are also making a tax impact on that community. We're changing what that neighborhood looks like. We're changing the values of the homes around the properties that we're building. So there is such a diverse amount of impact that Habitat makes in its community, and it's the people, but it's also the whole economy of our area. So we work with La Crosse Promise on identifying homes and properties that we can work together on. There is just so much overlap in what we're doing in the community and what we're trying to do for the City of La Crosse, and I think Habitat is so wonderful because it plays such a pivotal piece and that overall view of where is the city, where is it going, how can we make La Crosse a great place to live, to work, to shop. And affordable housing is one of those very important pieces to make that happen. And I am so proud of what we do and what our volunteers and everything do to make that happen. And then that huge impact that they make on the neighborhoods, on the community that we love to live in.
One thing that I think is really cool that Habitat does is they, you know, they have a variety of special projects and events and, you know, things like Neighbor Day that's been mentioned, but also the Women Build Week and Building on Youth. You know, Jenny, I wonder if you can, you know, talk about these different special events and maybe how, you know, why they're important in involving certain groups in the community.
The individual special events that we have, you alluded to National Women Build Week. That occurs in May every year, and that is just an amazing time. And not only do you have that week in May, but we have individual women build teams. So you collectively could be on a team that would build sometime throughout the year as well. And it's women power, nothing against Alan, but it's very much a sense of empowerment. It's a very, very interesting time. You have Neighbors Day. It's just a collective time to go out and go into the neighborhoods and help those that are elderly or disabled to spruce up the yards. It happens in April, and get them ready for springtime by raking up the leaves, washing the windows. And then you also have the Renew Neighborhood Revitalization Program. I particularly loved it this year because this came to the Lower North Side and Depot neighborhood, which is where I live. So I actually got to benefit from some of the projects. Go in and trim trees. They redid some flower beds. They will do some painting. And it's little tasks and projects. If the projects get a little bigger, that's where perhaps a critical home repair would step in. And part of Renew this year was each of the participants that were on the receiving end could get a 4x4 square foot garden. As I had mentioned earlier, due to some poor knees, there was no way I would be able to use this garden if it had been on the ground. And I asked WISCOR, and working with their inclusive group, they raised it for me. And so that alludes again to the partnerships that we at Habitat make with other groups in our community. And another activity or individual event that we have are just different fun times that we have. We had a house party, for example, earlier this year. It's just a get-together at the ReStore with food and music and just games and a happy time to celebrate this 25th year.
And very quickly before we go, Kaya, will there ever be a time when Habitat's work in La Crosse is done? I mean, is that the end goal to achieve housing for everyone? Or do you feel like there will always be work for Habitat to do in the community?
Well, I think the end goal, and it was the end goal 25 years ago when Habitat started and the interested citizens came together. You know, their end goal was, let's end poverty housing. Let's make sure every single person in our community has a decent, safe place to live. And so that's our goal today. I would love to be able to see a time in which Habitat is no longer needed in our communities. Do I think that's going to happen in my lifetime? No. I think we've got a lot of work to do. I think we've got a lot of need in our community. And so until that problem is solved, Habitat will be there every single day, every single year, coming up with unique solutions, unique partnerships, working with volunteers, working with our community, working with families in need to make that happen.
We've been talking with Kaya Fox, Executive Director of the La Crosse Area Habitat for Humanity, Jenny Mitchell, a longtime volunteer for Habitat from La Crosse, Alan Eber, the organization's current board president, and Mary Schumacher, homeowner through Habitat, about the organization's work building and repairing homes for low-income families in the La Crosse area over the last 25 years. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.